Amen. Still having some folks able to make it in with us, starting to fill up nicely. That's good. But this morning we're going to continue on. Wasn't able to finish last week about recognizing the strategies of the devil. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is where we'll be starting at. You can go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 8, but I'm going to touch back on something that was toward the end last week. You know, when we're talking about recognizing the strategies of the devil, we talked a little bit about the whole story in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and how, you know, a lot of times people try to put the blame on Eve, if you will, but she wasn't there when God gave the commandment of what to do with the tree, meaning Adam had to be responsible for telling her. What can we learn from that, Brother Ray? We have a responsibility as Christians to share that with our family members as well. The scripture, the word of God, what it really says, what it really means, Brother Joe. And obviously Adam, as we talked last week, Adam obviously shared it with her, okay, but not probably like he should have. I truly believe that. I believe she had a general knowledge, but not an intimate understanding of the scripture. And I think that is a warning, not just a suggestion. I think that's a warning for us today, that we need to not only have a general knowledge of scriptures, we need to have an intimate understanding of it. Because the devil, the Bible says the devil as a roaring lion is going about seeking whom he may devour. And how many of you folks know, without a shadow of a doubt, the devil knows the Bible? Amen? He tried to use scripture against Jesus, didn't he? Now, if he's got the audacity, Tommy, to try to use the word and twist the word against the word, then I promise he's going to do it to us too. I truly believe that. So, that's a big important thing for us today as we're talking about it. We're also going to be kind of bleeding over today into some of the strategies of the devil being spiritual warfare. There's a lot of people today, unfortunately, I truly believe it, that are asleep at the wheel when it comes to spiritual warfare. Christians, they've been Christians all their lives and stuff like that, and they just don't realize. I don't think it's necessarily. Sometimes it's not because they don't want to know. It's just they don't realize the scope of the battle that we're in. So we'll talk a little bit about that here today too. But in Acts chapter 8, I just want to go this before I get to the, I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 16, before I get to chapter 8, you can just stay at 8, because it's just going to be briefly. When Paul and Silas are thrown in jail, now we all know that story. We all know the whole, there's a lot of songs sung about they worshiped at midnight and how the Lord shook the prison and they could have walked out free if they wanted to, but they didn't. Paul, seeing the opportunity, instead of bolting for the door and basically the jailer being killed because of it, being punished because he let the prisoners go free, Paul takes the opportunity to win him to Jesus. Amen. So we know that story pretty well, but oftentimes we don't go into why were they thrown in jail. Why were they thrown in jail? Plain and simple. So in other words, the adversary had an issue with what they were doing. Now, yes, they were preaching the gospel. Amen. And you ready for this? If you're sharing the gospel with somebody, I promise you this. If you're sharing the gospel with somebody, the adversary don't like you. That's just the truth. Okay? And if he can stop you any way he can, he's going to do it. Amen? Because you're doing something that Jesus commanded all of us to do. Wednesday night, if you were here, if some of you folks wasn't able to be here, Wednesday night, one of the things we talked about was the importance of taking out the gospel, being an effective witness for Jesus, taking the gospel to those people in the world. In other words, I don't believe that I was called to preach. I believe I was called into a fivefold ministry. I do have a pulpit ministry. And not everybody has that pulpit ministry. Not everybody has a fivefold calling, but everybody's called to preach the gospel. And when you say, where is that at? It's in the book of Matthew, last chapter, when Jesus said, go out and make disciples of the world, teaching the nations. So in other words, every single person here has a mandate to share Jesus with somebody. Amen? And every time, whether you think of it or not like this, this is the truth. Anytime you tell somebody about Jesus, You're fulfilling the great commandment. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Okay, so never make light of that. When the Lord puts somebody on your heart to go talk to them about Jesus, that's a heaven-sent job. That, don't make less of that, okay? Yeah, you might not be preaching a sermon on Sunday, but I'm telling you, what you're doing is just as important, okay? You be obedient, okay? So, in other words, the devil wants to stop that. Plain and simple, he wants to stop it. So Paul's preaching, him and Silas is preaching, and obviously Luke has to be here too because he's the one writing. So we know there's at least three, there might be more, we don't know, but there's at least three people there. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Okay? And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. So in other words, what was she saying? Was it wrong? No. No, absolutely not. The evil spirit wasn't lying, the spirit of divination, soothsaying, witchcraft. That's I'm going to go ahead and lay it out plain with you. So in other words, what she's saying is not incorrect. These men show us the way of salvation. Okay? Now, that being said, the thing that you have to remember here is this. It's still an evil spirit. Okay? So in other words, the devil, Brother Ray, will manipulate in any way he can to get a hold in somebody's life. You understand that? Manipulation is like witchcraft, and it's of the devil. Z?
A little bit of truth with a little bit of lie and make you think that that is okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's in all things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that they can pull them in,
mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that that's what they're trying to lead.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Lead the world out of the church.
Absolutely. Amen. The Bible says, come out from the world and be ye a separate people. Amen. So as what Z's saying there is the devil, since man's walked this earth, one of the things he likes to do is he mixes a little bit of good with a little bit of evil, a little bit of good with a little bit of false, so to speak. So you ready for this? Is truth still truth if there's a little bit of lie to it? No, it's a lie. Plain simple, okay? Truth can only be truth if it's 100% truth, okay? If I was to say some truths about Brother Joe is this, 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 and this, and only at the tail end there was one little thing that is wrong, and you go, well, yeah, that's pretty much true. Was it really true? No, it wasn't 100% true. Amen? So as he's saying, the devil is very good at doing those things. And if you ain't careful, if you don't have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, an intimate understanding of not just his word, but who he is, okay, ready for this? People will lead you astray with a little bit of false. And that's happening in the world today, folks. There are people that don't know the Bible. They don't know Scripture, okay? They have no idea, so they're fair game for the enemy. If it sounds like it's Scripture, if I could phrase something in the King James Version, then it sounds like the Bible, then people will amen it. And it ain't even in the Bible. Think about that. It's very important to understand Scripture because you know what? Cleanliness is next to godliness is not in the KJV or the English Standard Version. Or the American Standard Version, or the New King James. Brother Lindsay?
What about 100% truth?
There's a manipulation, isn't it? 100. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the adversary. Listen. That's why it's so important to be led by the Spirit, because the adversary, he's cunning, guys. As we talked about last week in the book of Genesis, it said that the serpent was more crafty, more subtle than any beast of the field. That's the reason he chose that, and he does do things like that, as Brother Lindsay brought up. So it's so important to understand and be led by the Spirit, because here's the thing. I've heard Pastor Walker say this a lot. Well, how do we know, brother, if it's the devil? If you're walking in the light, you'll know darkness when it shows up. Okay? That's the best way to say it. If you're walking in the light, you'll know darkness when it shows up. And the problem is, if you're not walking in the light, then everything's got a shadow. Amen? Everything's got a shadow if you're not walking in the light. So that's a good thing to remember. But the point being is that the evil spirit doesn't say anything wrong, okay? But as Brother Lindsay's saying, there's a motive behind it, is what it is. There's a motive behind it. There's manipulation that's behind it. What it's saying is true, but there's a motive behind it. And Paul recognizes this motive. And as you just kind of try to put your human glasses on, so to speak, what could this motive be? One, I don't believe the devil wants to be discovered. I don't think the evil spirit wants to be uncovered. Okay, if you've been operating in witchcraft and soothsaying and this, that, and other, and a new guy comes into town, he's preaching and he's trying to get a revival to break out, he don't know who you are. You don't want, if you're the evil spirit, you recognize the truth in him. You recognize the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're just kind of going to retreat to the shadows a little bit so you ain't uncovered. And if I can just get by till he leaves, then I'll come back out again. So I think that's one thing that it's probably doing. And I think that happens today. It still happens today. Amen. And then also, I think it's this. Gains influence with the people. Okay? That same individual, now by praising the people, let's say Lisa and Eva and Leanne get saved in that revival that Paul comes through town. Instead of them automatically looking at that spirit of divination or that woman that's used that way as, that's the enemy. That's the enemy. Now all of a sudden she's gained inside track to just kind of whisper in her ear a little bit. They don't know. They're young babes in Christ. They're not mature. They got no idea. So guess what? If I can stay hid till the man of God's gone, then I'll just start moving in and try to manipulate. And next thing you know, Eva don't know what's truth. She don't know what's truth. She don't know if she's doing anything wrong, whatever. Keep in mind, they don't have Bibles back in that day, folks. To open up. They don't have nothing like that. So it's important that that thing is doing its best to stay covered up, to stay hid. And you ready for this? There's people that operate in your family that does the same thing. There's spirits, evil spirits, that operate in your family members that do the same thing, whether you recognize it or not. They may be your family member, but there's an evil spirit behind that motive. Okay? Whether they're family or not, friends, neighbors, whatever, it's irrelevant. It can be strangers. I'm not just trying to pick on somebody's family. But the point of it is this. Don't let the adversary get a foothold, because I promise you, his intentions are not good. This may have been telling the truth. They were men of God showing the way of salvation. But the evil spirit did not want people to be one to Jesus. The evil spirit did not want people to have a close walk with the Lord, did not want people to grow in Christ. My goodness, folks, it's an evil spirit. Okay? I don't care what it talks like, where's it from? It's from the pits of hell. You folks remember when Jesus came and cast out the spirit of Legion? You remember the story of Legion? And the spirit spoke to Jesus and asked permission to Jesus. Ask him, have you come to torment us before the time? That's what it said. That's what the evil spirits said. Have you come to torment us before the time? So in other words, the evil spirits know they have a final reckoning. Okay? Are you going to cast me out into the darkness? Guess what that spirit was inquiring? The Bible says in the book of Revelation during a thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, that Jesus, or that an angel comes down and binds Satan and casts him into the bottomless pit. That same word right there was the same thing that evil spirit of Legion was saying, don't cast me there, where Satan's going to be during 1,000 years, in the abyss. So in other words, please don't do that. Cast me into this swine. Okay, they know what their final reckoning is, folks. Listen, so they're determined to take as many people out as they can before that time comes. They know they're not going to win. But they're here to disrupt the Spirit of God, the will of God, the kingdom of God, while they can. So now all of a sudden, the same followed Paul and cried that these are the servants of the Most High. And they did this many days. She did it many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And that is the reason they got thrown in jail, because the men that realized, guess what? The one that made us a lot of money now ain't going to make us no money. So they stirred up the people and got them thrown in jail. That's the reason it happened. But in other words, why did it happen? Why did he get thrown? Why do we have the story of Paul and Silas singing praises to God at midnight and the jail's breaking open? Because spiritual warfare. Plain simple, spiritual warfare. That's what it was. Paul wasn't just disrupting the way things was in the city and people's money. He was disrupting the kingdom of darkness. And can I tell you something right now? For you to sit here today in 2025, we are farther removed from the cross than we were in Paul's day. There's more years that have went by is what I'm saying. For us to sit here in 2025 and think that that is not still going on, oh my goodness, folks. It's just as prevalent, or more so, today than it was then. We're going to recognize the strategies of the devil. Then, first of all, we got to recognize that this is real. Amen? Now, I'm not somebody that thinks the devil is behind every rock and every tree stump and everything like that. Just because you stumped your toe on your bed at night, that it was the devil's fault. Well, no, you might be clumsy. Absolutely. Absolutely right. The closer the coming of the Lord, the more the devil's going to realize he's got but a short time left. Amen? So, go on to the book of Acts chapter 8. I'm going to get somebody to read for me if you don't care. Anybody need volunteers? This is a good-looking crowd this morning. Good-looking crowd. Ray even looks good. Z, you care to read for me? Read verse 4. On down to verse 19.
Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wandered and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the top of hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank you, Z, very much, by the way. This is a scripture. Let me go ahead and lay a little bit of groundwork here before we get into it. And we're talking about manipulation, spiritual warfare, things of that nature, recognizing the strategies of the devil. But years ago, when I say years ago, when Tara and I first started coming here, we were Drew here. And you guys know the story. You've heard it many times, I'm sure. Tara's story of when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then, and I share it in a way. Paul talks about the, specifically, that salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. You know, that's how Paul says it. And I say it this way, not that it's a bad thing. I say it with tongue in cheek, okay? You know, lightheartedly. That Tara got baptized in the Holy Ghost to provoke Ted to jealousy. Okay? Meaning, when I began to seek this, I had been saved for 10 years. Okay? And you get to the point of, it's not that I didn't believe in it, you get to the point of you're kind of open-minded about it, but yet I still don't know certain people like I know my wife. Make sense? And I saw the difference in her. I saw the change in her, okay? And when she tells me this experience, Bubby, not that I wouldn't trust you by telling it to me, it's going to hit home more to me because I know that woman very well, okay? And so that being said, I began to seek God and things of that nature, and he baptized me in the Holy Ghost as well. And I encourage every Christian whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life to do that, okay? But during the process of seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is when the scriptures like this came to me, and I was talking to Pastor Walker about it. So this scripture that we're talking this morning, I saw this before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit is what I'm trying to say, okay? In the Church of God, we believe, and I believe as well, but we believe that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's something we believe. That being said, we don't pray to speak in tongues. You don't pray to speak in tongues, okay? You do not. You pray to be baptized in the Spirit of the Lord, and then you just speak in tongues as the evidence, okay, as the Spirit gives the utterance, okay? So when people, they misunderstand, well, that denomination believes you pray to speak in tongues. No, you don't pray to speak in tongues. You seek God to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And as a result, you speak in tongues, okay? But that being said, we believe that there are examples in the Scripture that tell us this is the way. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, is one of them. Then you've got Acts chapter 10, at Peter at Cornelius' house, and they spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit came on them. And then obviously in Acts chapter 19, Paul doing the same thing. So there was three specific examples. Why do we believe that is the evidence? Is because in Scripture, that's what happens, eh? Didn't just pull that out of thin air and say, that's what we're going to believe in right there. It's in the Bible, so that's why it is. This Scripture that we're talking about this morning does not give us a clear indication like Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, but we're going to talk about something, and maybe we're going to just worship now. But we're going to talk about something, which is fine too, I promise. That's the Lord's will. Let it be done. I'll shut up. But what we're going to understand, I think, after talking about this a little bit, that there had to be something take place to trigger Simon the sorcerer doing what he done. Okay? And it says, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip is one of the original seven deacons, by the way, okay? The Bible, seven deacons were picked from among the people, men full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said. They were picked from among the people so that they could go and help the widows and the fatherless and stuff, because the apostles, it was growing so much, the church was growing so much so fast, they couldn't just quit preaching the gospel and go take care of those things, but they knew that it needed attention, so they set aside those seven deacons. Well, obviously, Philip is now preaching. He goes down to Samaria. You guys remember the story of the woman at the well? Samaria? Keep in mind, before Jesus showed up, the Jews walked all the way around that place to avoid it. Well, now Philip, being one of the seven, full of the Holy Spirit, the church is growing. Holy Spirit, I believe, pearl unctions him to go to Samaria. He goes down to Samaria, and he's preaching Christ unto them. So that's who we're talking about. That is the Philip we're talking about. And it says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. So in other words, obviously, the Lord has ordained this mission that Philip is on. Philip goes down to Samaria and he starts preaching and revival breaks out. Can we say that? Can we say amen to that? They've received the gospel, okay? There's people being saved, they're being baptized and all that, and miracles are being performed. Healings are taking place, and great joy comes out in throughout the whole city. So in other words, it's spreading like wildfire. Have you ever seen revival? It's happened here before. Break out in such a way that it was like people were coming from everywhere to get to it. You know what I'm talking about? That's what's happened here with Philip. Okay, let's set the stage. There's miracles taking place, folks. Miracles are happening. Now, would it be safe to say, Ike, that if you didn't never heard the gospel before, You hear the gospel, you get saved, and God's doing all these miracles among the people, You probably would hold Philip in pretty high regard, wouldn't you? Because you kind of was one under his ministry. It wouldn't make sense. He's the only Christian preacher you know. Amen. And now you're seeing the power of God on display, God using Philip in that way, not believing, I don't believe for one second that Philip was taking credit for it, but the point being is, Philip would hold pretty much high regard to you. You would think very highly of Philip. You'd have no other option but to think highly of Philip. Amen? We could agree with that. Okay, so in other words, Philip's doing that. Okay, and then the Bible goes on and tells about another man who had a position there. It said, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. Kind of going back to that same thing, ain't we, as Paul dealt with there earlier, right? So in other words, sorcery is at play. Witchcraft is at play. Evil spirits are at play. Plain simple. Okay? Before the people shows up, Simon the sorcerer, that's why I called him Simon the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer is having a field day. The devil, having a field day. You know what? Probably one of the reasons the Holy Spirit told Philip to go down there and preach, ain't it? These people need to be set free. These people need to hear the gospel. I need you to go down there. You're going to heal some people and blah, 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 blah. But you're going to cast some demons out too. And that's exactly what he done. One man being obedient to the Spirit of God, and a big revival breaks out in the city. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing what happens when you're obedient to God? So that's what's happened, okay? But it says, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So in other words, before Philip shows up and starts preaching them Jesus Christ, this man was the be-all, end-all. From the least to the greatest. So what that means in Scripture, in hillbilly terms, from the richest to the poorest, or from the poorest to the richest. In other words, if you had a big name in the city, you thought highly of him. If you were just an old regular old whatever, you thought highly of him. Everybody thought highly of this guy. Everybody liked him. Everybody thought the world of him. They thought, man, this man right here is the great power of God. Now, can you imagine what kind of ego this guy had? Let's be real. He don't know Jesus at this point. Before Philip comes, ain't never heard the gospel. Do you think he was probably prideful? Come on. I'm teaching better than you're listening. You think he's probably prideful? Probably had an ego? I think he did too. Matter of fact, I know he did because of what he tried to do. So in other words, he's used to people patting him on the back. He's used to people looking up to him. Important people of the city looking up to him. Think about that. And then it says, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Okay, so in other words, the gospel's come, people's received it, being baptized. Even Simon believes it and is being baptized. Okay, are we all on the same page right now? That's what the Bible says, okay? Can I tell you something right now? Just because you've been saved and baptized, you're still prone to the attack of the enemy. This man's old man, which was supposed to have been crucified and buried with Christ, is going to crop back up again. Now, before you go judging him, are you guilty of the same things as well? For all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is there a time from time that maybe you do something you ain't supposed to do and the old man seems to kind of crop his head up? Still happens. Still happens to me. So before we throw him totally under the bus, let's begin to realize he's a young Christian. I believe he's a believer and this, that, and other and stuff. And he's going to have to be corrected, and Peter's going to do that, okay? But the point of the matter is this. Before we throw him plumb under the bus, before you throw somebody else plumb under the bus, you better look yourself in the mirror. Okay? Amen? Okay? So before I start slinging stones, I need to realize, you know what? I probably need to be having one hit me right here too, because I've been just as ornery and just as silly and done things I wish I hadn't have done as well. Amen? So take your halos off, folks, you know. But anyway, it goes on. It says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, hold on. Now, I'm going to revert back to my Pentecostal viewpoint here. Okay? Because I remember reading this. I've been saved for 10 years. Seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was new to me. Wife had been. I had not been. That's the reason I brought that up. So I'm reading this. It might have been, I probably hadn't had a phone very long as far as texting. So I'm texting back and forth Pastor Walker. He's not trying to give me no answers. I can tell you that. I can tell he's trying to let me get to the answer myself. But I'm going back and forth, and me as a person, me as a Christian is going, well, now hold on, it said they were believers. And they were saved. And they were baptized. But they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. So that being said, the 10-year Christian that Teddy Dean was, who had experienced the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit had come upon me. I had worshiped, felt the power of God. I've run aisles and done things like that. So does that say that these people don't even have the Holy Spirit? No, it can't mean that. Because Teddy Dean's experience himself told him, you have the Holy Spirit when you're saved. Amen? When your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ready for this? You're a fit subject for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells with you. He sets his seal upon you. You understand? If at that point Jesus comes back 2 minutes after you get up out of the altar, guess what? And you've been saved, and guess what? You're going to go back just like anybody else. You can't be more saved than just being saved. Okay? It's just that simple. You either saved or you ain't saved. One or the other. Okay? Just like dead. You can't be a little bit dead. You either alive or you're dead. There's no in between like that. Okay? So the point being is, I believe these people had the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it caused Teddy Dean to go, he's got to be talking about something a bit more than what I'd ever been taught before. I believe they were saved. John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on him. Wake you up. Jesus breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did he not? But yet they needed something on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Right? These men and women, I believe this revival breaks loose. Guys, listen. This is pretty powerful. They're being healed. They're being saved. Philip, one of the original 7 deacons, a man full of the Holy Ghost, is dunking them underwater and baptizing them. You ready for this? I don't think Philip's baptized them unless they were saved. Do you? I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to take somebody out here and baptize them in a creek if they ain't saved. I just tell them I ain't doing it. You've been saved. You're going to be a dry sinner going down and a wet sinner coming up. And to be honest with you, I'm not getting wet for it. You ain't saved, I'm not baptizing you. I just tell you that right now, it ain't going to happen. Okay? It's a waste of time. But so I believe Philip is not putting airs on. I don't believe he's pretending, Pearl. I believe Philip is baptizing people that are saved. And if they're saved, then Z, I got to believe that they have the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's common sense. And that Teddy Dean back then began to go, what is this talking about? What in the world could this be? I couldn't put my finger on it. But the scripture was saying, there's something else here, buddy. Pay attention. And it goes on, it says, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. So in other words, word was sent. Philip didn't get on his cell phone, Josh. He didn't have one. Okay? Somebody was dispatched to go to Jerusalem, probably with a letter from Philip, I would say. More than likely, it's probably what happened. Somebody with some good leg muscles was sent. I need you to go back and tell the apostles that revival has broke loose here in Samaria. And that's what they done. Plain and simple, that's what they done. So when they get there, they receive the word and they realize they hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Well, now, brother, I thought you said they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Spirit of promise, the seal, absolutely. Teddy Dean, when he got saved back in 2001, in October 2001, I received the Holy Spirit, the seal of promise. But there was something else that they hadn't done yet. There was something else they had not received yet. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. That is what we're talking about here today. And it goes on and it says, When then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Now, you ready for this? He don't offer money to Philip. I am saved under Philip. People healed under Philip. Demons cast out under Philip. But I'm not offering Philip no money for what he's got. There's something that happens when Peter and John lay hands and pray for somebody that this guy wants. Or should I say, the evil spirit wants. That this man was still under the influence of. So in other words, let me ask you a question. If I want to have what Leanne has, okay, just so that people will come to me for it once she leaves, that's what he's doing. Because keep in mind, he had great influence with the people before his revival broke out, folks. So guess what? I want to keep my position. I want to keep my ego. I want to keep my spot in the community. There's something different about her than there was about Philip. Now, keep in mind, Philip should have been very highly sought of. They were one under Philip, people saved under Philip, baptized under Philip, healed under Philip. But there's something different about what Peter and John's doing. There had to be a visual manifestation for the people to see to make me want to come and buy it from her. She's doing something that when it's done, everybody can see there's something taking place, or why in the world would I want to buy it from her? That don't make no sense. I'd go to Philip. But they come to Peter and John. Can I tell you what I believe it was 100%? They were being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they were speaking in tongues. And this evil spirit realized when they leave, there's going to be a void, a vacuum to fill where I can influence and manipulate people. Plain and simple. Recognizing the devil's strategies is oftentimes far greater than your mind can comprehend. You're going to need the Spirit of God to do it. In the book of Corinthians, chapter 12, discerning of spirits is a spiritual gift for a reason. You understand that? It's a spiritual gift given by the Holy Spirit to be in operation in the church today. There are people today that are held hostage by evil spirits that need to be cast out. Recognizing the strategies of the devil is not just about maturity in the Word and worship, and that is all part of it. I promise you, we've spent several months talking about that in depth, and we're doing it on Wednesday nights right now. But I tell you, there's some things that Teddy Dean, that Sean, that Dave, that no preacher in the world can teach you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Spiritual gifts are something that the Holy Spirit operates severally as he will, not as you will, but as he will. The devil is operating today at a very high level, folks. And if you're going to recognize his spiritual warfare, if you're going to be in tune with that, then you've got to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Do you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I absolutely urge you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? Absolutely not. I don't believe that. But I believe that the devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you ready for this? If I was you, I'd want to be as quick as much as possible. That's what I'm saying, plain and simple. And for us to recognize some things that the devil's doing, it's going to take that discerning of spirits. I'm not going to know it. You're not going to know it. They seem like good people. That evil spirit was talking to Paul. Follow these men. They're the way to the Most High God. Wasn't saying nothing that was a lie. But Paul perceived there was something wrong with that. How did he perceive it? It was through a spiritual gift. He knew that that was an evil spirit. He cast it out. Peter knew that there was something wrong in this man, even though he'd been saved and baptized. Guess what? He perceives, and he calls him out on it. Now, in Simon's defense, he apologized. Pray for me. Pray for me, okay? So I'm not going to tell you Simon the sorcerer's in hell. I'm not going to say that. I hope he realized it, and he got right with the Lord, okay? But on this day, this specific day, that evil spirit that was in work in him, that he was operating in, sorcery, manipulation, ego, pride, it wanted attention. It did not want to go away. And he tried to buy something that was not for sale. Hey, man, can I tell you something right now? You're not going to buy this. You're not going to make God. You're not going to make deals to God for it. He don't care what your last name is. He don't care what's in your bank account. I'm going to tell you that right now. But if you want more of God, you can have more God. But all it takes is you and Him, one-on-one, you selling out to self and saying, Lord, I surrender to you. I know that today in which we live in is evil, and I need to be able to overcome in all ways possible, and I can't do it on my own. That's all it is, folks. It's selling out to God, and you ready for this? Surrendering to Jesus. Don't be fooled by the devil's tricks. There's some things you can recognize right away, Z, because you know the scripture. You're not going to fool me like that, I know. But there's some evil spirits at work that it takes discernment. And it only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.